get sidetracked. Let's read here this morning. Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We started looking at Psalm 16 last week, and we went through some introductory material, and then we got up to the points here. And the first thing we talked about, we got through two last Sunday. But the first one was David's earnest prayer for preservation. We've seen how David was praying to the only one who could preserve him, and how he was trusting in the preservation of God and not preservation of the government. We've seen that David spoke boldly and confesses his faith here in verse 1, where he says, in thee do I put my trust. And then we went on talking about David's statement of his attachment to God and to God's people. To the Lord first, we see here in verse 2, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. We saw that he is attached to the Lord, and we spoke about being attached to God and expressed that importance, that before you can say these things that David has said here, before any of us can say these, we must be attached to God. And we expressed the concern for people that they are saved, that they have trusted the Lord, that they have that attachment to God. And then to God's people, it says, but to the saints in verse 3. We've seen that David was trusting God, and trusting God, it brings great joy to his life. He said, my delight, here in this verse. Which brings us up to speed to point number 3, which is David's words to the wicked. We see in verse 4, he said, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings will I not offer, nor take their names into my lips. David's words of the wicked, or to the wicked here. David, we see that David has no sympathy for those who reject the true God. We can learn from David. You know, there's folks that we meet in this world. There's folks we work with. There's folks that we know. There's folks in our family that aren't saved. And some of them are in, lead lives of quite the wickedness. We are not to sympathize with their sin. We're to love the sinner and hate the sin. David here had no sympathy for those. Their sin, we see here in this verse, is idolatry. It says, another God. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Where did David learn that from? Where did he learn not to sympathize with those that worship another God, that hasten unto another God? He learned it from the Old Testament. You can turn back to Exodus chapter 20. He learned that here in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 through 6. The Bible said here, "And God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me." Plain and simple. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above or that is earth in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation, to them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. David learned from the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible, he learned that you're not to have any other God before God. And he learned from those around him, the wickedness that he saw, he had nothing to do with that. And you know, there's many ways, many idols that we can be faced with in this life. Many things will come up, you know, and you say, well, I don't worship another God. I don't have drink offerings of blood and all that. And that's pretty extensive what he says here, but there's many things that you and I, even as saved people, can have and have adultery in our lives. Even though we're saved, we can still worship another God. We can worship those things we drove in here in this morning. It's a vain thing to worship, let me tell you. I've been through many of them in my lifetime, and none of them have lasted. I don't care what brand they are. I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they come from, where they were built. They do not last. But sometimes we worship them. Sometimes we worship our family. We just want our family. Just, you know, these four, no more. Just, Lord, bless us and keep us here. But we can worship our own family. We can make our own family. Could be adultery if we make it that way. We can worship our homes, our lands, many things in our lives. We can worship that little computer we carry around with us every day. We can worship that. You know, I was speaking, had some good time of fellowship with James over here yesterday afternoon. We sat and talked a good bit, and I told him, one of the things I told him was, I said, a lot of times in my teaching, I will kind of, so to speak, harp on cell phones and that kind of stuff. And I said, do you know why I do that? And he just kind of looked at me. I said, because I have the problem. It's a problem. And, you know, this way, there's fingers pointing back to me. I'm not pointing to you. I just know if I had the problem, you probably had the problem too. And it can be a problem. Some people, it's worse than others. Maybe sometimes I beat myself up about it more than I should, but I can't seem to get over the fact, and I told James this as well, that on Sunday morning about 9 o'clock when that weekly report gets sent to me of how much time was spent on that device, many times the Holy Spirit will say, did you study that long this week? Amen. Boy, that's a gouger right there.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to do it, folks, but it's sometimes at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, I don't even want to come. Because I got to stand here. And what can I do? Confess my sin, preacher. Confess it, forsake it. It's under the blood. Move on. Go out for the next week. See what you can do the next week. And it's something that God shows me, reveals unto me. And what? It's adultery, isn't it? You're worshiping it. You're spending more time with it than you spend with God. And I know it's quiet. I mean, Sunday school's not usually a shouting time here, but it hits home, folks. What do we do? What is our main concern? You know, we get bad news. Got some bad news this week. Disturbing news. And we want to pray. And we want to hit our knees a little bit harder. But, you know, as we go through those times where maybe there's not so much bad news, do we pray as much? Do we spend as much time with God then? I mean, we don't. We seem to get, like, we ease up. And my mind thinks every now and then, you know, when things are kind of smooth, every now and then I get this thought, and that's no doubt the Holy Spirit's, what's ahead? What's coming up? Because, folks, the Christian life is not a smooth bed of roses that we're going through. It's full of mountains and valleys. And we're going to go through things. If you're not going through something, you should be going through something probably pretty soon. If you're not going through something, but you can look back and say, I've just been through something, God's working. He's doing something in your life. If you're always, everything's smooth, life's a bowl of gravy, I'd be looking up. I'd be checking up on myself. Anyhow, David had words for the wicked here. He was not going to participate in their adultery. Neither should we. And there's many ways that we could do that. We should have no parts in the worship of idols ourselves. Even though many things can come into our lives, we should not be doing it. We should confess them as sin. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, the ending verse of 1 John says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." John was writing to Christian folks. Just because you're saved does not exempt you from idolatry. He was writing to them, and it was a concern to John that they kept themselves from idols. I don't know what your idol might be this morning. What might be standing? It's anything that stands between you and God. What is it? What could it be? I kind of confess my stuff up here. It's just kind of hard not to do sometimes. But, you know, I know that if I have the problem, I'm not above you by any means. I'm not above you in a Christian level. There's no Christian levels in our lives, but God has put me here and give me the words to say, and I just, you know, kind of the plow sinks down a little bit deep sometimes and brings up some things, and if it does, if he's ringing your bell, answer. If you've got some adultery in your life, take care of it. Go to the Lord. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And certainly, idolatry is unrighteousness. God can take care of it for us if we bring it to him. David was consecrated to the Lord. Therefore, he separated himself from idols. The more consecrated we can get to God, the more we'll be separated from idols. Folks, they're out there. There's plenty of it out there that we get ourselves tangled up in. I said we. But the more we consecrate ourselves to God, the less we're going to get tied up in that. And the more consecrated we are, the more separated we will be. We could go back to Psalm 1 and talk about separation. Many other places we talk about separation. But we should live a godly, separated life from this world, from the idols it has, from the idolatry that sometimes we find ourselves in. We should live a separated life. And to live a separated life, we have to be consecrated to the Lord. We have to take care of things. Pastor's been preaching on the work. And we've been over there some in Philippians where it says, work out your own salvation. That was brought up as well in me and James, our conversation yesterday, is there's things you got to work out. God saves you in a moment when you confess your sins to Him, repent from your sins, and put your faith and trust in Him for salvation. Yes, He forgives you of your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. But we're still in this flesh, folks. We're still in it, and it's still going to sin. We're still going to. But what I told James was, I said, the key, James, the key to it is, the best example that illustrations I've ever heard from men of God is who you feeding. Because you're looking this morning at Ryan Matthews, who got saved June the 28th, 1985. Slate was clean. Friday night, June 28th, 1985, it was clean. But I guarantee you it didn't take too long to get messed up. Yeah. Now, I didn't lose my salvation, but I had to learn some things. And I'm ashamed of some things that I've done. Even in those early years, you know, but you know, God put in me a desire to be in His house and to hear from His word and to learn from His word. And God taught me things. And as James and I were talking, I said, the way you change, James, is you feed the new man. Because you're looking this morning at one man up here, but there's two men here. Okay? The old man and the new man. Because I still got the old man. I'm a preacher. You still got the old man?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He's there, isn't he? What happens when you feed him? He does. And that's what I told James. I said, it's all about who you feed. You feed the new man, he grows. He gets stronger. And that new man is new because when you get saved, you're a babe in Christ. A babe in Christ. And I think back of those early days, early years of my Christian life. And I'm not making excuses for myself, but I was a babe in Christ. I had to learn. The little ones born into this world. Little Dallas here, she's learning. She's just learning. And she's got a lot of years to learn, you know. You can't put her down on the floor and tell her to walk. She doesn't know how to walk yet, but it won't be long. And little chunky legs will be do-do-do-do-do. And she'll be all over the place. But she's got to learn. You and I, as Christians, as we trust the Lord to be our Lord and Savior, we have to learn. And even then, we learn things, and maybe we get them down. We learn how to do them, but many years later, we'll still stumble and fall. Because I can tell you, at 56 years old, there's still times I fall. There's still times I physically fall, okay? Just like a child. But that child doesn't have too far to fall. This 56-year-old has further to fall. There's a lot more weight here than it was when I was 2 years old. And so I'll fall and it'll hurt. And isn't that the way it is in our Christian life? If we get sideways about something and we fall, trip, stumble, fall. I like what Pastor says when he gives the examples of his times like falling out of the tree stand. I remember him saying, the first thing I thought was, I got to get up. I got to get up. And it is. I mean, when we do things, you know, Mike, those years you spend in the shop, when you did something stupid, and made a loud noise, and somebody said, you know, this is the same famous thing. You holler across the shop, you all right? What'd you say? I'm all right. Except when you're stuck in that forklift now. That was another story. Wasn't all right then. Couldn't get out of that one. But our pride said, yeah, I'm all right, I'm all right. And that's what we do. If we fall, we want to get back up. But that is a key in our Christian life, that we should get back up, confess our sins, move on. But what am I saying? I'm saying that David here, he had consecration to the Lord. That consecration gave him separation. He was separate from these that offered blood, drink offerings of blood. He said, will I not offer? And also that they hastened to another God. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have any parts of it. You know, and we could just look at that verse and say, well, yeah, we're not going to do what those people do. But if we dig a little deeper, we got to confess that there's things that we do, and we do it maybe in private, or we do it in our own lives when maybe nobody else sees it, but yet we do these things, and it's just as bad. Adultery is adultery. But David's key was he was consecrated to the Lord. Therefore, that brought separation in his life. And if we're consecrated, we'll be separated. Someone said the problem today is that there's little separation because there's little consecration. If you look down further ahead, we'll kind of get a little ahead of myself, but in verses 7 and 8, he says, I will bless the Lord who have given me counsel. My reins also shall instruct me in the night season. God has given us counsel and he's given us instruction. He's told us what to do. The problem is when we stray and do things on our own, and we'll not go all into that. We're headed that way with the next point, which is number 4, and that's found in verses 5 through 7, and that's David's thankfulness for God's blessings. In verses 5 through 7, it says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lots. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. David's thankfulness for God's blessings found here. David describes his blessings like an inheritance. Having the Lord as your Savior is the greatest possession and blessing that you and I could have in this world. You know, you may or may not come into an inheritance in your life. Sometimes it comes, sometimes they don't. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Those things are temporal. They come and they go. And if you do, you just treat it as a blessing from the Lord and honor him with it, and he will bless you one way or another. You say, well, I've never inherited anything. I've never got a dime in my life from someone else. But the Lord is still your portion. If you're saved, he's still your portion. Like David here. David describing this, and David is the king of Israel. He pretty much had everything a man could want. But yet he says that God is his inheritance. I would say, take the world, but give me Jesus. David's thankfulness for his blessings here in verse 5, we see here he says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. David's focus is not on the worldly possessions that he has, but rather on what the Lord has for him. Turn your Bibles over to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through 21. The Bible says here, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." David was laying his treasures up in heaven. He was trusting the Lord to be his inheritance, to be his portion. On down in the verse, he says here, "And of my cup," I thought about the cup, and I thought about the famous psalm that we all hear in funeral times and hardly any other time, Psalm 23, where he talks about his cup. In verse 5, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." David knew something about his cup running over. He knew something about inheritance being in the Lord. You say, "My cup's not really running over down here, Brother Riley." Well, your physical cup might not be running over, but your spiritual cup should be running over. The Lord has more than you can ever handle in your cup. He will not let your cup run out if you trust in him. He said, "Thou maintainest my lot." David's putting his trust. David is trusting in God to keep his lot. What's it say over there in Proverbs 3? "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Trust in the Lord. David is expressing his trust and his thanksgiving to the Lord here in verse 6 of Psalm 16. It says here, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." See, David looks around him and he thanks the Lord for what he has. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." That was Paul writing there to the Philippian believers, saying, "I've just learned, the Lord has taught me this, in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And Paul had, he had much. Before he got saved, I think Paul kind of had it made. He was, you know, he said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was up there. He was pulling down some pretty serious money, probably. But it's not all in money. Paul knew what that was. He knew what it was to meet the Lord. He knew what it was to spend 3 years on the backside of the desert with the Lord. And God changed his life. And then as he come back and he ministered the gospel unto all these churches and tried to help them many times, where did Paul end up? He'd end up in prison. When you're in prison, you don't have anything. If you got anything, the lawyers take what you got to get you back out. But Paul knew that it wasn't just what's in your wallet, the change you carry. He was trusting the Lord. And David knew this as well. He said, testifying of his life here, he said in verse 6, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." He's saying, you know, I got it pretty good. I got it pretty good. And you and I could say the same thing. We got it pretty good. You know, none of us, we had to take a detour this morning, but we didn't have to go through no barricades. There wasn't no one holding a gun against us to get here. We didn't have to go tremendously out of our way. We didn't have to leave the house at 6 o'clock this morning. We didn't have to meet in a cave somewhere. We got it pretty good, folks. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. We could say the same thing as David said here. He said, I have a goodly heritage. He's testifying and thanking the Lord for his goodness to him. In verse 7, he says here, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. He says, I will bless the Lord. The word bless here means to kneel, to bless God as an act of adoration. Amen. Do we bless the Lord? You know, I just spoke about how good we have it. And we kind of get used to having it good. We really do. It becomes kind of a normal, you know. How many of us in... Now, there's going to be a little division here because Treva's going to speak up in a minute. How many of us enjoy the air conditioning in the building? Where Treva's back here about froze. But, you know, the comforts of the building, the place to come, padded pews, air conditioning, lights, we got it good. And we get used to it. We get way too used to it. Again, you know, we're not meeting in a cave this morning. It wouldn't be this comfortable in a cave, trust me. I don't like caves. I don't like them slithering things that come out of caves either. But David is blessing the Lord. What he's kneeling in admiration to the Lord. David blesses the Lord for his counsel. Do we bless the Lord for our counsel, the counsel that he's given us, or do we kind of snub what he tells us and go about our own way? Do we do it our own way? Do we say, well, I know what your word says, Lord, but... And we don't physically say that. But in our hearts, many times, we know what God's word says. And yet... Because what? What? It's our desire. Oh, the Lord's going to give you desires of your heart. The Bible says, Lord, to give you desires of your heart. If your desires are right, he'll give them to you. And you say, well, it's not such a bad thing. Well, if you don't have God's approval on it, don't move. Yeah. If you don't have his approval, you got his disapproval. It's black and white, folks. What do we do? Can we do what David said here? Can we take God's counsel when he gives it to us? He said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. God's given us counsel. He's given each and every one of us are carrying a King James Bible this morning. It's in our hands, in our laps. We have the instruction that God has given us. We have a man of God that God has given us to give us his word. He studies, he prepares, and he gives us his word. Oh, do we follow that, or do we say, oh, that's a pastor's opinion? That's just his opinion. That's just what he does. Pastor will give you his opinion, and he'll tell you when it's his opinion. Now, you can take that for what it's worth, but when he gives you God's word, it's not his opinion. It's God's word, no matter who's standing here. He said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also shall instruct me in the night seasons. Wow, the time's moving. David also thanks God for guidance that he gives him within his mind or his reins. If you look up that word reins there, it goes back to your mind through the night seasons. You're right there. Turn over to chapter 17. We'll be there in a couple weeks. Chapter 17 and verse 3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. That's a consecrated man right there. That's David as well speaking. He said, I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. God visited him in the night seasons. He said in 16 there, in the end of the verse of 7, my reins also shall instruct me in the night season. As I think about that and I studied upon it, we got other verses. You can write them down. You can look at them later. Psalm 63, verses 3 through 7, and Luke chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus speaking there as well about reins. And I thought about this as I studied it. You know, God has not only given David, and he's given this to you and I too. He says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel, and the Lord does give us counsel. You should always seek God's counsel. You should always seek his way. But he also said here, my reins, this was David speaking, my reins also instruct me in the night season. That goes back to that thing I was talking to James about. Who do you feed? Feed that new man. That new man, when that new man has the reins of your mind, you'll go places with God. You'll be thankful to God, and you will walk with him and serve him and live for him. But when the reins of your mind are controlled by the old man, it's not good, folks. We see David's thankfulness for God's blessings. We'll pick up here next week in the last verses 8 through 7 through 11, and that's David's confidence in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you for helping us with your word this morning, the blessing it is to study it and prepare and to give it to your people. Lord, I thank you for speaking to my heart through it, Lord, and your blessings that you send our way. Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you and want to praise you for it. Lord, you are certainly worthy. Lord, without you, we are nothing. Lord, bless Pastor as he comes in the next hour. Give him everything he stands in need of. Lord, I pray that your spirit will move in our presence, Lord. You've given him a message for this morning. Lord, no doubt you have given him a message, and I pray that we will be submissive to the moving of your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.